Keep up to date on Monitor 68 with music, sports events, and interesting personalities. In this half hour, Monitor's latest feature, World of Wheels, live from the auto racing track at Riverside, California. And then I'll be talking to an authority on true Italian humor, comedian Pat Cooper. My name, Brad Crandall. Music now, the Ray Charles Singers. I can see it now.
I can see it now. I can see it now. I can see her golden jubilee. And it's not too far away. I can see it now.
Of 6 seconds now as we switch live to Los Angeles and Monitor's newest feature, World of Wheels with Keith Jackson.
Hello, everybody. Keith Jackson with Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's new charge, and the thousands of dealers who feature the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. Phoenix, Arizona, for several years, has been trying for major league sports of all types. The first big-timers to score in the Arizona City have been in automobile racing. And at this moment, a USAC National Points 250-mile race for late-model stock cars is underway. With about a half hour of running left in the race, let's switch now to Phoenix International Raceway, Ben Foote placing the leaders for us.
Al Hunter first. Second, Dave Pearson, third. Running right around 100 miles an hour. It's a 2.7-mile track, and the leaders are right around 1:50 seconds.
Al Unser is driving a Dodge Charger. Second place, Don White, a Charger. Dave Pearson in a Ford Torino, third. Parnella Jones had the lead through the first 50 noisy laps, but left the race when he cooked an engine. Al Unser leading the USAC 250-miler comfortably in Phoenix at this time. The next major event for the late model stock cars will be the Daytona 500 February 25, the premier early season event for NASCAR, and tire tests clearly indicate the speeds will be breathtaking when the big boys hit the high bank oval. New body designs will seemingly have some effect on the drafting factor at Daytona and other ovals as well. Drafting, you know, the aerodynamic quality of running behind another car almost in a vacuum, enabling you to conserve gas and save your engine. Veteran NASCAR driver Darrell Durringer, one of those who expects the drafting factor to change.
Yes, we have only been down Daytona running the tractor products, and they're getting up over 180 mile an hour a little ways, but it sure makes a difference. At the end, the straight-lane cars have a tendency to lift up off the ground. So now they are possibly going to allow us to run spoilers in the front as well as in the back.
1967 NASCAR Rookie of the Year, Donnie Allison, is another who has checked the 180-plus-mile-an-hour test speeds and comments this way on this drafting matter.
I believe it'll have a real effect on it, and I don't believe the cars will be able to sit there as comfortably and run right behind one another like they did before. It's going to be a little bit hairy situation, I believe.
That might be quite an understatement. Despite the apparent high-speed qualities of the Ford Torino, there are some oval track veterans who feel the Mercury Montego may surprise on the round race circuit, since the nose of the Montego sits a little lower and may give it an aerodynamic edge. Well, did it happen this morning? Did you step on the gas and finally realize the pep and zing your car used to have is gone? Sort of takes the joy out of driving, doesn't it? Well, there's a very good answer to your problem. It's called Wins Friction Proofing. Wins Friction Proofing restores a healthy measure of the performance your car has lost with age, increases power and gas mileage, protects your engine against costly damage caused by friction, and prevents harmful acid and water corrosion, keeps the hydraulic valve lifters free-moving and operating at peak efficiency. But best of all, Wins Friction Proofing penetrates the surfaces of the moving parts inside your car's engine. It smooths and seals these parts to provide a better surface for lubrication and to hold engine wear to an absolute minimum. So the next time you stop for gas or service, ask the man to add a can of Wins Friction Proofing to your car's crankcase. It'll keep your car going strong. More than 15,000 on hand for the final runs in the AHRA Winter Drag Meet, Lions Strip, Wilmington, California. This afternoon, the weather cleared nicely today here in the West. The AHRA meet will be going for another hour or so, with the funny cars making some news. Dave Adler at trackside for Wins World of Wheels.
Well, Keith, highlights of the first round would have to be Don Nicholson in the Eliminator 2 Comet. Earlier, he posted a 7.63 elapsed time at well over 180 miles an hour. And in the first round, he came and backed it up with a 7.65. Another standout in the first round is Don Gay in his Firebird, which is all Pontiac powered. He powered to a 7.77 clocking at 183.28 miles per hour. Another standout would have to be Dick Lohr in his Chrysler-powered Mustang, the Stampede, posted a 7.79 at around 170 miles an hour on an easy run. Today might be the day of the 7.50 funny car.
Which would be an incredible achievement for this class car. This is a warm-up because the NHRA Winter Nationals will come up next weekend at Pomona, California, and that always is one of the fastest drag meets anywhere in the country. And that wraps it for this edition of Wins World of Wheels, brought to you by Wins Famous Friction Proofing, Wins New Charge, and the entire family of Wins products that keep your car going strong. Ask for them by name wherever you get gas or service. This is Keith Jackson in Los Angeles, reporting for Monitor.
Listen to World of Wheels every Saturday and Sunday evening on Monitor. In just about a minute, Trini Lopez, and then I'll be talking with comedian Pat Cooper, who, among other things, will tell us about his mother's foolproof method for buying good chickens. So,
stay right here on NBC.
Where everything is arranged precisely to keep you on the Monitor beacon.
Through the years, the Postal Service has been the key link between families, friends, and business. Since the days when Ben Franklin was the nation's first Postmaster General, the cost of postage has become a better bargain. The nickel postcard contrasts sharply with a rather steep 25 cents for long-distance mail, which was paid by the frugal farmers of the nation's formative years. By the 1860s, the overland stage laboriously hauled 10-cent letters across newly opened frontiers. The daredevil pilots of the flapper era were flying transcontinental mail with 20 cents postage. Today, our mail moves with much more zip. And by any standard, postage remains a bargain, even as mail volume surges upward and the price of postage changes. Now, first-class mail is 6 cents, air mail is 10 cents an ounce. Postcards, a nickel.
Tomorrow is Radio Premiere Week on WNBC New York.
Monitor continues. Your host, Brad Crandall, reminding you it's now 18 minutes after the hour. And this musical suggestion from Trini Lopez. Let's take a walk.
Let's take a walk.
Jump-a-dee-dum.
Hand in hand.
Jump-a-dee-dum.
Let me show you our wonderland. Walk side by side. Imagination will be your guide. Walk, 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 walk with me. You'll see the things I see. The world.
Here's one of the 101 perfect strangers who's taste-tested a new 101. The filter cigarette 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds. Mrs. Glockenspiel.
It's Miss, but I haven't given up. Are you married?
What do you think of our 101 cigarette?
It's cute.
No, I mean the taste.
I'd like them even if they weren't 1 millimeter longer. You don't look married.
A silly millimeter longer. 101. A silly millimeter longer. 101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
We even smoke the same brand of cigarettes.
Hey, I hate to mention this, but it is a fact that income tax time is drawing near. Government officials say they really would appreciate some early returns. However, Leroy Deskin doesn't think so. You might say Leroy went a little overboard. Mr. Deskin was sentenced in San Francisco Federal Prison this week for filing 240 returns. You see, well, the government said he used fictitious names and tried to retrieve $800,000 in refunds. Ah. Hey, if you analyze the humor of comedian Pat Cooper, you discover one outstanding element, truth. The kind of truth out of which everyday real-life situations are made. Pat, your latest United Artists album, You Don't Have to Be Italian to Like Pat Cooper, is being played everywhere. Actually, I've heard your earlier albums played over loudspeakers attached to light poles at the various Italian street festivals here in New York City, where crowds of 50 to 100 people would stand around under the speakers just breaking up listening to you. How does that make you feel?
It's frightening because, see, Italian people don't hang on a corner listen to records. They really don't. I mean, the old-fashioned Italian person. And when they go down to Mott Street for the feast and they stand there for an hour and this guy will play that record over and over and they'll scream, that means you've been accepted because when you're accepted by mama and papa, their children will fall right in line. Yeah. And this is where I've been successful. Mama will come over to me in a club. Never been to a club in their life. The son will take him. He says, I got to see that the Pat Cooper. He's telling the throne. He's absolutely light, and they'll always bring you a pepperoni. They got anything they call it pepperoni. They got some sauce. You taste it, you know. And this is when you know that you're scoring with your own people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to score with the Jewish person or the Polish person or the French person. But when you score your own, it's really a big thrill.
Yeah, because they know what's happening. They know where it's at.
Well, they're not used to hearing anyone speak about their Italian people. They're not used to it. They, you know, opera, fine. Anything singing, fine. But the minute you start talking about the saints in the hallways, you know why they had them in the hallway? You know, years ago,
the little saint niche in every house, yeah.
Oh, that. No girl years ago was ever abused in the hallway. Because I tell you why, we would turn around, I'd take a girl out, so, you know, we want to take her right to the door. And you want a little kiss, you know. How could you kiss at a saint pointing down at you with a candle, you know? Then you thought, you know, you figure you'd beat it, right? You go to the second floor, there's two of them on the second floor. By the third floor, there's three of them. There's two saints and the mother. Get inside, I'll kill them.
You know, I never thought about that, but that must have made it pretty rough.
This is the truth. In fact, still in Brooklyn, parts of the neighborhood where my mom and dad live, they still have them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no problem. When you take that girl home, they're protected.
Maybe that explains why in many communities where people of Italian extraction have moved out of the city into the suburbs, they got them on the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there's no hallways.
Right.
You got to have somebody watching the front door.
That's why my mother won't come to my house. She goes, you don't have a stoop. You have to have a stoop. She goes, you're paying all this rent. She says, why don't you come back to my house? She says, you pay $45. You got seven rooms. You got a stoop. She says, where are you going to go in the summer? I said, I got air conditioning. She says, that's why, she says, you always look pale. Because they don't believe. They don't believe in air conditioning.
You know, she may be right.
What, do I look that bad?
No, but
you
I
got
mean,
me thinking of, right?
This is a point of philosophy, you know. She just may be right.
You know, she says to me, like, we have the ovens in the wall. Now, you know, it's fancy. She goes, no. She says, you can't do that. She says, you have to have the ovens from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I says, why? She says, then every time you cook in the oven, you're going down and up and down and up, and you have exercise. She says, this way, she says, you know who's got the exercise? The chicken's got more exercise than you.
I'd love to spend a weekend at your house. That's too much.
It's wild. Yeah. My mother, and I tell you this, my mother buys healthy chickens. And she'll tell you today some chickens are not, some chickens, she'll tell you if a chicken's got a cold.
I mean, laying there all...
No, laying there. My mother goes and buys them live. She's got to see that chicken walk first before she buys them. Because she wants to make sure he's walking right, everything looks nice. And she takes them out of that big cage. And you know, the guy's looking at her, I says, please, but take the chicken. She goes, no, I want a soup chicken. And she'll know soup chicken, a fryer. She'll know exactly what chicken to use for what particular kind of a meal she's going to make. And one time she had this bird come out, a nice hen. See? And she says, no, she says, that bird has arthritis.
You're kidding.
No. I says, Mama, what are you kidding me? The guy says, lady, it's a fresh hen. She goes, no, it's got arthritis. So how? Picked up the foot.
The claw, yeah.
One of the little nails was bent. She says, that's arthritis. She wouldn't take the bite. The boy died 2 days later from arthritis.
You're beginning to scare me, and I don't even live in her neighborhood.
I'm telling you the truth. They go just to see the bird move.
Mm-hmm.
See? And she feels underneath the breast of this. She goes, that's very, 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 very bluffing. That's all a feather. Guy said, what are you talking about? I said, that's all a feather. This bird is 9 pounds. There's a 6-pound feather. She says, they're underneath there. She says, he's a very sick bird. So he said, you know what she'll do? She says, I gamble with you. I bet you. You give me the bird for nothing if I tell you the truth? Guy says, yeah. They took all the feathers off. The bird looked like a pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you don't pull that with me, she says. I know exactly what's the problem with that bird. He's all a feather. You don't feed him corn. And she can tell by the yellow of the tongue. So she talks to the bird. Looks in the eye. You know. But when I tell you one thing, Brad, when that bird comes home and it's cooked, it's something else. It's delicious. You know, lobsters, like, she'll tell you where the lobster came. She'll tell you the lobster had a fever. What time it come out of the water? You know, she knows about lobsters. She knows about fish. She says, now, this has been here a couple of days. She can tell. I don't know why. And they get to know my mother now. They don't fool her no more.
With luck, maybe. You and I will someday be as good at our stuff.
I'll settle for 50%. I'm not a hog.
Pat, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Comedian Pat Cooper and his Italian accent on truth. Monitor music now, the Artie Kornfeld Circus and the rain, the park, and other things. Monitor's World of Information is available on NBC throughout the nation. In the area of Naples, Florida, are you listening, Pat Cooper? People hear us on WNOG. But closer to home, your local station has a word now, and then we'll be back. Brad Crandall and Monitor.
30 minutes from now, Joe Garagiola at the Baseball Writers Banquet, a Monitor special on the NBC Radio Network.
Come north or south, go east or west, just get in your car and you'll head for the best. Wherever you are, you'll find Monitor on NBC.
North, south, east, or west, Monitor 68 is there. Brad Crandall here. Coming up shortly, some of the awesome responsibilities of the Nuclear Bomb Recovery Program by author-columnist Bob Considine. Then another Monitor special feature, a regional report on graft and underworld activities in New Orleans, and the latest scores and stories in sports from Mel Allen. This philosophical note by Petula Clark. The other man's grass is always greener.
What it seems, we're always searching in our dreams to find that little castle in the air. When worry starts to cloud the mind, it's hard to leave it all behind and just pretend you haven't got a care. Someone else in your imagination wish that you were standing in their shoes. You'd change your life without much hesitation. Would you, if you really had to choose?
With Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Hi, the loss of a nuclear weapon is an accident fit to stir fears in men's minds and conjure all sorts of nightmares. I'll be back with more on that after this. Most of us don't really understand hospital surgical insurance, so here's the inside story from Mutual of Omaha.
When you select hospital surgical insurance, check its limits on hospital room and board. Most policies have them. But a policy that pays $20 a day isn't enough if the hospital costs $40 a day. A policy that pays for only 60 to 90 days will fall short if you need longer care. Mutual of Omaha, for instance, has policies that can pay $30, $40, even $50 a day for as long as 500 days. Check your policy's limits. Check the surgical and medical expense benefits. Are they enough to meet today's higher costs? Your local Mutual of Omaha man can get your protection up to date by adding Mutual of Omaha benefits to your present policy or with new Mutual of Omaha plans that pay big benefits to meet today's bigger bills. Call him. Get the inside story on hospital surgical insurance from Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
It's not generally known, but we started to look for lost atomic bombs as far back as the early summer of 1945. We instituted a recovery training program before we even had a bomb, before the test of the first bomb at Alamogordo, New Mexico, on July 16, 1945. The Find the Bomb tests were run from the island of Tinian, about 1,500 miles below Japan. Day after day, crews were to be sent out from Tinian with a large dud in the bomb bay. The orders were to drop it in relatively shallow waters near one of the small islands of the area, then carefully mark where it was dropped, chart it, and then make out a long report which would enable surface vessel crews to find it and fetch it back home. Brigadier General Tom Farrell, the famed New York State engineer who was in charge of the operation at Tinian, told me months later that this earliest exercise in bomb recovery resulted in a certain dissension among the crews. The aircraft commander of one of the B-29s, which eventually did drop an atomic bomb on Japan, complained bitterly to Farrell one day that he and his men had dropped thousands of bombs on Germany, so why should they now be subjected to what he called the kid stuff, practicing dropping an imitation and treating it like a federal case? Like the others, this colonel did not know anything whatsoever about the awesome bomb he would soon drop. General Farrell was a patient man. He sighed and he said, "Well, Colonel, the bomb you're going to drop is going to cost about as much as the battleship Missouri cost. If you must jettison it somewhere between here and the target in Japan, we want to know just where you dumped it, and we want to get it back." So, my friends, we've been in the lost bomb business for a long time. The very thought of such a misplaced article of mass mayhem has prodded into being lots of quickie novels, short stories, articles, and grade B movies. It is a provocative thought at that. Let's suppose that somebody had beaten us to the H-bomb that rested in the mud under the Mediterranean off Spain 2 years ago. Let's say it was recovered by an Albanian sardine packet. Let's assume further that Albania gave the bomb to its ally, Red China. Red China has hardly rounded first base in its long, long run to create an H-bomb as compact and overpowering and as sophisticated as the one we lost off Spain. It could copy it, therefore, and be in the deliverable H-bomb business years before we anticipate that it will be. And what would such a set of circumstances done to Chinese-Soviet relations, United States-Soviet relations? Moral, if you've got an H-bomb, don't lose it. You remember that now, won't you? This is Bob Considine for Monitor, and now this final word from Mutual of Omaha.
Yes. Policy owners like Mutual of Omaha service. When an independent research company asked, "Are you satisfied with Mutual of Omaha's overall service?" over 97% of the thousands of policy owners replying said yes. Policy owners like Mutual of Omaha service. Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Listen next weekend when On the Line with Bob Considine will again be presented by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. You're on the Monitor Beacon. At 15 minutes before the hour, Monitor continues. I'm Brad Crandall. Right now, a Monitor special feature. Regional report this weekend, a comprehensive in-depth study and evaluation of graft throughout the nation. From New Orleans, Wood Rowan reporting for Monitor.
Not since the days of the infamous Louisiana hayride, when top state officials were sent to prison, has Louisiana faced such scandal as now. The prime elements in this unfinished drama are the mafia, the Teamsters Union, and top politicians. The Louisiana State Supreme Court is considering a motion by the state attorney general that New Orleans criminal district judge Malcolm O'Hara be removed from his judgeship. O'Hara testified at the Chicago hearing for former Teamster president Jimmy Hoffa now in federal prison on jury tampering charges. O'Hara acknowledged setting up a meeting between one of Hoffa's co-defendants and the man whose testimony helped convict Hoffa, Edward Grady Parton. Parton, who is head of the independent Baton Rouge Teamsters local, said he was offered up to $1 million to change his testimony and help free Hoffa. Judge O'Hara testified he acted as a messenger boy in the Hoffa-Parton affair. At present, a special state commission is investigating labor leader Parton and the whole labor management situation. Last summer, a long dispute marked by violence shut down industrial construction in Louisiana's petrochemical complex. Witnesses have told the commission of a reign of terror, and the commission has postponed hearings because witnesses are fearful of testifying. One view of the labor dispute is that too many people were making a lot of money illegally, and their greed escalated into a showdown between union and union and union and contractor. Another view is that the labor dispute was part of an effort to soften up Parton so he would accept the bribe to help Hoffa. A New Orleans contractor has been charged by the Baton Rouge District Attorney with attempted public bribery. Authorities say the money was offered Aubrey Young, then an aide to Governor John McKiffin, to set up meetings in the Free Hoffa effort. But what is most interesting is word of another influence from New Orleans in the case. Telephone company records show a number of calls between Young in the governor's office and Carlos Marcello, the head of the Cosa Nostra in New Orleans. There have been a number of reports of mafia influence in labor and in the political life of Louisiana. At first, Governor John McKiffin vigorously denied there's New Orleans racketeer influence in the state, but after a meeting with leaders of the New Orleans Metropolitan Crime Commission and news reporters, he ordered an investigation and conceded there may be something to the report. Ward Rowan in New Orleans, reporting for Monitor.
Regional Report, a special Monitor feature, which this weekend is giving you the facts on the existence of graft throughout the nation. A little later this evening, a report from Chicago. Medley time now as Monitor calls on the Letterman. Going out of my head and can't take my eyes off you.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head over you, over you. I want you to want me. I need you so badly, I can't think of anything but you. I think I'm going out of my...
In one moment, Mel Allen reports on Today in Sports. Monitor Sports is brought to you by your Lincoln Mercury dealer, home of better idea cars from the makers of Lincoln Continental.
For 1968, Mercury's got it. The fine car touch, inspired by Lincoln Continental. Mercury's got it. The elegant Colony Park station wagon with dual action tailgate and gleaming yacht deck finish. Mercury's got it. A bigger selection of hard tops than any other car in its class. Mercury's got it. An all-new Mercury Montego two-door hardtop that's nearly half a foot more car than other luxury intermediates, with more room and riding comfort. Mercury's got it. The award-winning Mercury Cougar, a roaring success. Mercury's got it. The fine car touch. Get it at your Mercury dealers now.
At the Monitor Sports Desk now, Mel Allen with Today in Sports, plus a look at the week ahead.
Thank you very much, Brad. Hello there, everybody.
Outfielders Goose Goslin and the late Kai Kai Kyler entered baseball's Hall of Fame today. Both had 18 years major league experience, their careers ending in 1938. Goslin with the Senators, Tigers, and Browns had a lifetime batting average of .316 and a career high of .379 in 1928. His reaction to this selection? It's a marvelous thing. I appreciate it very much. Kyler played for the Pirates, Dodgers, Reds, and Cubs and compiled a lifetime average of .321 with a seasonal high of .360 in 1929. In the world of golf, Billy Casper picked up the first prize of $20,000 in the Los Angeles Open with a final round 69, a 72-hole score of 274, 10 under par, and the three-stroke victory over defending champion Arnold Palmer. On the basketball front, the National Basketball Association, Boston beat Philadelphia 115-103. New York took San Francisco 133-130. In college basketball, LaSalle 80, Duquesne 79. And in the National Hockey League, Minnesota nosed out Detroit 2-1. Scott Piles gave the United States the gold medal in the men's downhill, and Loris Werner the bronze as the World University Winter Games came to a close in Innsbruck, Austria. The United States finished second in the 26-nation competition with 4 gold medals, 3 silver, and 3 bronze. Russia was first with 8-5-5. There was a pro football trade today. The Pittsburgh Steelers sent defensive end John Baker to the Detroit Lions in exchange for linebacker Wally Hilgenberg. Warming up for next month's Winter Olympics, West Germany's Erhard Keller knocked 0.3 of a second off his own world speed skating record for 500 meters with a clocking of 39.2. And the Medical Commission of the International Olympic Committee has ruled that if any athlete is found to be using stimulants in Olympic competition, his nation's entire team will be disqualified. At Grenoble, the first 6 finishers in each event will be tested, as will 4 others in the field selected at random. Looking ahead, on Tuesday, the second combined pro football draft in New York and the $75,000 Professional Bowlers Association Cougar Open in Overland Park, Kansas. Wednesday, the Bob Hope Desert Classic Golf Tournament at Palm Springs, California. And by the way, Monitor will follow the progress of that tournament throughout next weekend. Saturday, Thad Spencer and Jerry Quarry battle in Oakland in a heavyweight elimination semifinal bout. And there's the Daytona Continental Auto Race, the $100,000 added Charles H. Straub Stakes at Santa Anita, and 2 track meets, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Seattle Invitationals. And next Sunday, the United States Lawn Tennis Association meets in San Diego to finalize the 1967 National Tennis Rankings. That's what is and will be in sports, Brad. Mel Allen here, friends.
Thank you, Mel. And starting on February 3rd, NBC's coverage of the Winter Olympics daily and on weekends. Now, this word about Autolite.
Le Mans, France, June 1967. You're listening to the car that won, the Ford Mark IV, a $100,000 car with a battery that's almost a carbon copy of the one you buy for under $22. It's an Autolite battery. How come a low-price Autolite battery in a $100,000 car? Because there is no better battery for the job, not at any price. Get an Autolite battery for your car. whatever kind you drive.
Mel Allen with a complete up-to-the-minute live coverage of latest sports is heard right here on Monitor each weekend. So,
keep in step with Monitor.
Kemford moving us along on Monitor with Caravan. News on the hour coming up. I'm Brad Crandall.
We still have more to bring you. Just wait and see. More news, more songs to sing you.